on that. We're going to focus on eternity. Okay? So, if you have your Bibles, turn to the very last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 7. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. I would encourage you to take some notes today because all the scriptures that I'm going to mention are not going to be on the screen. That way you can go back and look at them. So take some good notes. It will help you remember more of it anyway. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Okay. I know that not everybody takes notes. I'm challenging you to do that. Pastor, isn't it enough that I'm here? Almost. We're glad that you're here. We want the scripture, we want the word of God to stick with you. So, let's step on anybody's toes yet. It's the truth. Unless you have unless you're sharper than I am, I can't remember all these things. So I have to take notes. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. This is in red letters because it's Jesus is the one speaking here. He says, look, or behold, I am coming soon. Jesus promises us that he will come back. And we know that is the case. But Pastor, how come it says soon? Hasn't it been a long time? Yes, it has. It's been a very long time so far. But the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He will come back. You mark my words. He will come back. I don't know when. I'm not saying when today. That's not my goal. My goal in this message this morning is for us to focus on him, focus on eternity. Eternity belongs to him. Okay? Matthew chapter 24 is not on the screen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Verse 44, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Jesus in Matthew reminds us that we need to be ready. We need to stay ready. We need to be ready all the time, anytime, because that trumpet may sound and he may come back. He may be called to come and get us at any moment. Let us live in that way. Let us live ready for his return. Let us live as if he's coming back. We're looking for him to come. Amen? And then look what he says here. He says, blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. Now this one here is the sixth out of seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. Beatitudes, what is that? Well, you may remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave some other Beatitudes, and where, you know, ones like, blessed are the peacemakers, and that sort of thing, okay? And there's seven of them also here in Revelation. This one here is the sixth one. He said, blessed are those who obey the words of this prophecy. My question to you this morning is, are you obeying Jesus? Are you following him in your life? And as I say that, I suspect that if you're not, there's something that the Lord just pointed out to you in your heart of hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He works in wonderful ways. So let us obey. Let us keep the words of the words of this book. Let us keep this prophetic word. The challenge this morning is, are you obeying Jesus? Are you living for him, or are you living for something else? Are you living for you? Are you living for anything else on this earth? Because I promise you that living for yourself or living for anything else will never satisfy you.
Amen.
It was never intended to. You have to live for Jesus. You have to surrender your life and walk in his ways. We're going to skip a few verses and look at verse 12, where again Jesus says, that he starts this next line out with the same starting. He says, look, I am coming soon. Again, He's saying, pay attention. See that I'm coming soon. Understand that. Look, I'm coming soon, bringing, and I like this part, bringing my reward with me. So Jesus is not only coming, but as he comes, he'll be bringing his reward with him. Now let's read on. It says, bring my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. You know, none of us can get to heaven because we know so-and-so, this person or that person, or ate with them at a lunch or talked to them after a conference, or we don't get to heaven on grandma and grandpa's being grandparents' day. We can't get to heaven on their shirt sleeve. We only get to heaven through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ and applying his blood to our life, washing us of our sin. But here he says, bringing my reward with me. Now, obviously, the reward is that he's bringing his kingdom with him and that eternal life with it. That would be that reward. But I want to take it just a step further to help us to comprehend that this reward of eternal life is more than streets of gold. That's going to be pretty cool. It's more than mansions, which one version translates that as rooms. So you don't really get a mansion, I'm so sorry. It's still going to be awesome and incredible. But let's turn all the way back to, it's not going to be on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me all the way to Genesis chapter 15, the first book of the Bible. Genesis 15 verse 1 says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. God is our reward. And he is what makes heaven heaven, and I'm excited about that. I want to pass that along to you this morning, that we will look beyond this life and look toward and live for that life and live to honor the Lord in this life, and know that as we honor him, as we are found in him, that he will be our reward, and that he will be there, and we'll be with his for eternity, worshiping him around his throne and honoring him. What a life, what an eternity, because the alternative is awful. Read the rest of Revelation. According to our good deeds, according to our deeds, whether good or bad. You know, you cannot get to heaven beyond good works. Helping old ladies across the street won't get you into heaven.
Right.
Coming to church in and of itself will not get you to heaven.
Right.
Because unfortunately, there are likely many people that are not right with God sitting in seats like you are today. Don't be one of them. You don't have to be one of them.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to be. The Lord's invitation is for you. Matter of fact, his work on the cross is the only way that we can get to heaven, by his shed blood on the cross. And to show us that, there's two scriptures I want to share with you. Luke chapter 13, verse 24, which tells us that Jesus is the door. Says, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter, but will fail. It says, work hard at it. And we barely have the energy to come to church. It says, work hard to enter the kingdom. Chapter 10 of John 10 verse 7, the scripture says, so he explained it to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. So again, I wanted to use those two scriptures to show us that Jesus was the way to heaven. He said it himself in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Well, Pastor, isn't that pretty narrow-minded? You can call it what you want. But Jesus said it, and I believe it.
Yeah.
He is the only way. Well, what about all the other world religions? Just hang with me for a second before you close me out. They say that they're the right way too. So I'm saying as well. Jesus is the right way. Take His word for what it is, the words of God, and hear what the Spirit is saying today. God is true. He will not be proved a liar. And I'm excited about that part as well. We're only able to get to heaven if we come to the proper way, not by any good deeds, but at the same time, our deeds, we will be rewarded based on deeds. And our reward, the only way to get the eternal reward is to lay our lives down and serve Christ.
Yes.
Verse 13, the next scripture. Jesus still speaking here. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Maybe you've heard this before. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha is the first Greek letter in their alphabet, and Omega is the last. So again, he's saying he's the first and he's the last, a different way of saying that. And the beginning and the end is very interesting, because who was there in the beginning?
Jesus.
God was. Yeah, Jesus was there too. You better believe it. And so in Colossians chapter 1 tells us that Jesus was there, that God used Christ to create everything. And so God, Jesus was in the beginning before there was time. And when time is no longer needed, there's going to be a day where we won't need our watches anymore.
Amen.
Time will be of no consequence. How old are you? It won't matter, because we're going to live forever.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's exciting.
Amen.
So Jesus was there in the beginning, and before time even began, and He'll be there long after time ends, because He is the beginning and the end. He is always going to be, and He will always be. Amen. He is incredible, the Alpha and the Omega. Verse 14, blessed are those, here's that seventh beatitude in the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Huh? Pastor, I don't even wear a robe. I don't ever put a robe on either. I wear other clothes. But here's what the word is saying. That these individuals will be blessed. The individuals who will lay down their life, they will realize that they are filthy and dirty and need to be washed. Now, we can only be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can only be washed clean through the precious blood of Jesus. And those who understand that, those who see their own filthiness, and those who understand that God is pure and clean and that He will wash you, they are blessed. And then it goes on to say, they will be permitted, that is, those who have washed their robes, they will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city. That's the eternal city, okay? It'd be the New Jerusalem. They will be able and be permitted to enter through the gates of the city. And check this out. On the gates of the city, you see there's going to be multiple gates there. St. Peter probably isn't going to be standing at one of them, even though there's all kinds of jokes that pertain to that. Peter's going to be there. You better believe it. But to be real honest with you, he's not at the gate. He's around the throne. Matter of fact, Revelation tells us that those 12 apostles are sitting around the throne. They all have their own throne, around the throne of the Master. But here, it says, they'll enter through the gate because the angel, Revelation also tells us that there's going to be angels stationed at each one of the gates. And when you and I are walking toward that gate, they're going to see that we've been washed. Oh, here, come on in. Right? And so it'll be clear, they'll understand, they'll see, because we'll be labeled as belonging to the Lord. They'll be able to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Remember the tree of life? Where do you remember that from? Genesis. the beginning of the book, right? Beginning of the Bible. So there was two trees that Adam and Eve were not supposed to eat of. God said, you can eat from any of the other trees, but leave these two trees alone. Don't touch them. Don't eat of their fruit. It was the tree of life. And the second one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose to eat. They were tempted by the enemy, the devil, the serpent, and they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because this tree was still there, God said, wait, if they eat of the tree of life, they will live forever in their sinful state. We can't have that. So he banished Adam and Eve from the garden. Go back and check it out. He banished them from the garden. But here, the Lord is saying that those who have been washed will be blessed, will be permitted to enter into the city, that heavenly city, and there's going to be these trees, the tree of life. I believe it tells us that there's going to be one on both sides of the main street, or both sides of the river. There's a river going down the main street. There's going to be the tree of life on both sides. This tree is going to bear fruit 12 times a year, and so there'll probably be plenty. Amen? And we'll live forever. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
We'll be permitted to eat of this tree that others haven't ever even seen before. It's incredible. God's faithful, isn't he? Let's look at verse 15. And now we're talking about outside of the city. Excuse me. Outside the city are the dogs. Now, that term dogs is a derogatory term, simply specifying somebody who is not clean. And so he's saying, and outside of the city is not just like outside of the wall. It's just totally separate, just a simple way of saying they're not included. The problem that I have is that they would have been included. They would have been included if they would just hear and respond and surrender their lives unto the Lord. They could have been in the city. Are you hearing me this morning? Because to me, the gospel is for everybody. The gospel, eternal life, is for everybody. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that hell was not made for mankind. Hell wasn't made for us. Heaven was made for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Outside the city are the dogs. They're not included in the city. And then he lists some, this is not an exhaustive list, but some of those who would not be included in the city. That'd be the sorcerers or those who practice witchcraft, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. And the reason that it's not just outside of the wall or the gates of the city, I want to point out to you Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, says, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Does that sound very pleasant to you? It doesn't sound very pleasant to me. Today you can make a decision to serve Jesus. You can make a decision to follow Christ. You can lay your life down, surrender to Him, and He'll wash your robe. He'll wash your heart. He'll clean you up, and He'll make you brand new. I promise you that. So, it's not just outside the city. It's another place altogether. And Jesus tells us there that it's the fiery lake of burning sulfur. See, the emphasis here is that sinners nor anything evil will be permitted to enter into God's presence, nor harm His faithful ones. Nothing vile will be in his eternal city, the New Jerusalem. Not allowed, not permitted. Again, there's angels stationed at the gate. Whoa, clearly you haven't been washed. Today you can be washed. Verse 16. Jesus again speaking, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. Let's look at that Jesus said, I sent my angel. Now, he is even Lord of the angels. And then, and also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, says this. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John. Very interesting there. Revelation 1 backs that up, that Jesus sent an angel to speak for him. But look what he says. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. The source of David, meaning the one who created him, the one where he got his strength, the one that gave him the covenant, the one that gave him all the blessing, the one that sustained him. And then I'm also David's heir. Jesus said that of himself. I'm the one who is his source, but I'm also the one who was to inherit his throne. Because God had promised David that he would always have one to sit on the throne. And Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that, you see. And so Jesus is able to do that because Jesus was the fulfillment of that, because Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, was a descendant, a direct descendant of the line of King David. And so therefore, he was David's heir, but long before that, he was his God. Amen? And it's just beautiful how the Lord shows us that. Look at this last one. He says, after he talks about being the source of David and the heir to his throne, he says, I'm the bright morning star. This is probably has two different meanings. Number one is fulfillment of Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Sure hope you're taking notes so you can go check this stuff. Check me. In Numbers 24, verse 17, it says, I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. And he continues on. So Jesus says this probably as fulfillment of this particular scripture back in Numbers. But also, the morning star is the first star to be seen in the darkness before the dawn. So Jesus is the hope of all who trust in him, even while living in a dark world, trusting that his eternal kingdom will certainly rise. And so showing us that, hey, even while darkness is all around us and the way that people live around us, you know, and I, for one, am getting kind of tired of all the darkness. I'm getting tired of all the foolish and sinful and crazy things that I never thought I'd see. But let us not focus on those things. Let us focus on the Lord. Let us focus on eternal life that he promises to us. And Jesus is that. He's that light. Even while the day is dark, the night is dark, the early day, he is that light. And he is promising that he will come. Okay, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now check this out. Here, the word is telling us that both the Spirit and the Spirit in the church, because the bride is the church of God, and so that would be every person around the planet who calls themselves, who is born again and calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ. They would be part of the church, or in, as it put right here, be considered the bride. Notice it says the bride and not the wife. Because we haven't been united yet with the groom. Okay? But the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now this is very interesting, because the Spirit and the bride, the church, extends and proclaims an invitation for, as the other rest of Scripture says, whosoever will, to come back to God. So the church and the Holy Spirit is extending an invitation for anyone and everyone to come back to God, or to come to him for the first time, and to live for him and not for themselves any longer, not to live for the sinful nature. It's not too late, the Spirit is saying. It's not too late, but it's almost there at this point in Revelation. because there's not any do-overs. There's not any do-overs. And at one point, there won't be any more time. And in reality, we don't know how much time any one of us has left. So while we're waiting on the Lord to come and get us, there may not be any more time in our individual life. Let us make sure that we're right, make sure that we're real, make sure that we're obeying Jesus and surrendered to Him. But look, it continues on. Let anyone who hears this say, "Come." And let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. You can drink freely today. It won't cost you anything. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to give. You just simply lay your heart down. Lay your life at Jesus' feet. And He will hold you up. He will take you up and place you on His shoulder. He will carry you. He will cleanse you. And He will hold you and sustain you. It's interesting. This invitation is open to all.
Amen.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. It's open. It's available for everybody. Everybody is invited, but not everyone will. Not everyone will choose that. It's unfortunate. They will be left outside. Verse 18. And I solemnly declare to everyone who hears the words of prophecy written in this book, if anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plague described in this book. Let's go on to verse 19. And if anyone removes any of the words of this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book. Yikes. A strong caution to stay close to the Word of God. Not add to it, not take away from it. That's why I try to always back up Scripture with Scripture. We want to make sure that we're as close as we can possibly be to the Word of God, to the true meaning of what God's saying to us. I have one more Scripture I want to share, one more verse I want to share in a moment. I'm going to ask my wife to get ready to come. What I'd like to do is here in a few moments, I'm going to open up the altars. It could be that you need salvation. You need to be washed for the first time. Or maybe you need to come back to Christ. Or maybe you're going to come this morning and say, "Lord, Lord, help us as the church. As that invitation goes out, let me be one to say, Lord, come, let them come unto you. Let them come and drink freely of the water that you offer, that living water that you give." Well, now, maybe that's going to be why you're down in the altar seeking the Lord. But I think that it's extremely important that we have a time of applying and responding to the Word of God in the altars.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of the altar. They're just pieces of wood with finish on them. Or is it that we're afraid of the Lord? If that's the case, you still need to be down here.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying this morning is I'm challenging you to get up out of your seat here in a minute to apply the Word of God to our life. You know what? I don't think that we'll ever be able to change if we don't apply the Word of God. Pastor, I can apply it in my seat. Okay? That's awesome. But I'm still challenging you to come to the front. I'm still challenging you to seek after the Lord and worship the Lord together. So, let's look at this last scripture, verse 20. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." How many times has He said that in Revelation 22? That'd be the third time that Jesus said, "I'm coming again." Anytime something said three times, we better pay attention.
Amen.
It is a promise. And it will happen. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of timing. We don't always know God's timing. But Jesus says, "Yes, I'm coming soon." Now listen here. He says, then John writes, "Amen." In other words, Lord, let it be so. So be it. granted, Lord. He says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maybe that's going to be your application today. Lord, let me have my focus on you and not other things. Not on the media, not on the politics, not on coronavirus, not on this, not on that. Let me have my focus on you, Lord. So, the challenge has been put before you this morning to apply the Word of God. So, my wife is going to lead in this psalm. I'm inviting you to come into the front. I'm inviting you to apply the Word of God to your life. Maybe the Lord is, maybe some one of these or a couple of these points this morning in Scriptures kind of were pointing to your heart. And you just want to come up and pray those. That's awesome. The challenge is for us to apply the Word of God. So if that's you, I challenge you to step out this morning. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pursue Him. Let's seek after Him. Let's seek after His will. Let's make sure that we're washed. That our robes are washed. You're welcome. Come on down. Thank you.